and we are going to jump straight into it. I got a lot to say, and I just want to give space for it, for God to do what he wants to do. And so here is the scripture. We are continuing in our series, First Move. We are going walking slowly through the book of Colossians. I hope it has been good for you. I know it has been blessing me and rocking my socks off. So let's continue that, all right? Here we go. We're going to start in verse 24, and we are going to go to chapter 2, verse 5, so about 10 verses. Here's what the word of the Lord says. This is Paul speaking. He says, I am glad when I suffer. What a way to start off a passage of scripture. I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. And God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Come on, nudge somebody. Let them know this is the secret. Come on. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. We're almost done. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you. And I rejoice that you are living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you are here with us at this very moment. And Lord God, I pray that whatever we walk in with this morning, that we would have the boldness to surrender it to your feet, Jesus. And Lord, I pray that hearts would be softened in this place, that as faith goes, that seeds would fall on good soil this morning, Lord God. Lord, we pray that we would mature in this walk with you, Jesus, that we wouldn't stay the same of when you first found us, Lord God, but that we would be mature in the faith so that we would be fully present before God on the day of judgment, Lord. And so, Father, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for your word. I thank you for every single person in this room. And we ask that you would receive all of the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. And the saints said, amen, amen. Hey, before you sit down, let somebody know, Christ in you, Christ in you. Come on now. Christ in you. Come on, how many of you know there is a difference between being alive and being mature? Here's what I mean. Just because you have a pulse does not imply that you are mature. A baby may be born healthy, full of life, full of potential, but if that baby never grows, is never developing, is not maturing, guess what? Something's wrong. The same is true spiritually for us as well. Many people have accepted Christ, but never have grown in Christ. Hear me. You can accept Christ, but that does not imply that you are growing in your relationship with him. See, you can be saved, but still spiritually stuck. Hello. You could be born again, but still living like spiritual infants. And God did not call us to conversion. He has called us to maturity. There's going to be a lot of engagement this morning, so go ahead and nudge somebody else again. Let them know God has called you to maturity. Some of y'all are going to have a little bruise on your side by the end of this. I saw some. Bing. He did not save us merely so we can avoid hell. He has called us so that we can live life abundantly at this very moment. And I think this is what Paul encapsulates in verse 28. He says, so we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. Here's what Paul is saying. He goes, I'm in prison right now. I'm enduring a lot of hardship, but it's worth it. Here's the reason why. Because my task as a minister of the faith is to help sharpen you, equip you, feed you, edify you, so that on the day of judgment, you ain't got no excuse. That's a heavy word. Because here's what that implies. It implies that what God has started, he says that you have received a gift called salvation. And after you receive that gift of salvation, guess what? It's like a box on Christmas morning. Do you just stare at the box or do you open it up? And God is saying, you need to open it up and you need to work out this salvation that I have given you. If you're still ain't catching it yet, in the most simplest term, if you're still struggling with the same thing that when he first saved you with, something's up. And you need to let Christ work in you. But the power does not reside in your own strength. This is what Paul is teaching us, is that the power that you need actually resides in you because it is Christ in you. Not Christ and you. Amen. This ain't a tag team match. I reference wrestling because I watched a lot of wrestling when I was younger, a lot of WWE. And I think the tendency is we go through life walking with the Lord and we think, okay, God, I got this situation right now. And when I can't handle it anymore and when I'm feeling tired, then Jesus, I'll tag you in. But that's not how the relationship works. You're not called to walk with the Lord in a tag team match. No, you are called to have Christ reside with inside of you so that you can accomplish all that he has called you to. Somebody catch this, please. God has not called you to casual Christianity. He has not called you to surface level faith. He has not called you to emotional responses, but spiritual transformation. This is the best way I could describe it. Y'all remember back in the day, Baby Huey? I think we got a picture of it. Baby Huey, full grown duck, dressing like a baby. Here's the thing, is we laugh, but there's many people that still operate like this spiritually. If we were to peel back the mask, if we were to actually look inside, here's what we would see. And this is not to shame anybody, but this is just to paint the reality that God has called us to maturity. There is a lot of baby Hueys in the room. I'm not speaking down. There's parts of me that is still baby Huey residing around as well. Where I need to ask the Lord humbly, God, work in me in this. Where I still get angry, where I still get upset, where I'm still short fused, where I'm impatient. God, help me in these areas of my life. We all have a little baby Huey inside of us. But here's what's most important, is that you have Christ inside of you who is more powerful, that helps you transform, that brings forth the life that you need. Amen?
Amen.
See, we can have the big Bible, we can have the big vocabulary, we can have the big church attendance and yet still remain immature, still easily offended, still prayerless, still self-centered, still spiritually dependent on everybody else. Looking grown is not the same as being mature. Say it with me. Looking grown is not the same as being mature. See, God is not impressed by spiritual size. He's looking for spiritual substance. Please catch that. He's not excited about how much you can pray and how long you can pray. He wants to know, do you mean what you pray?
Right.
I'd rather you pray two words and mean it than a whole lengthy essay that mean nothing. This is what God is looking for. I think this is the same attitude that David came to God with. God, search me. Know the parts of me that I don't even know about myself. Help me understand why I do what I do. And I don't want to do it anymore. We're preaching this morning. I hope you're catching it. See, the power is in verse 27. He says, this is the secret. Christ lives in you, and this gives you assurance of sharing his glory. See, this is the engine of maturity. This is the fuel of transformation. This is the mystery revealed. This is why this is important, because in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God only came upon selected people that God had chosen. He came upon Moses for leadership. He came upon King David for kingship. He came upon Samson for strength. He came upon the prophets for proclamation of his word and warning. But nobody, I can guarantee this, nobody would have imagined that one day God would not merely visit his people, but that he would dwell inside of them. That thought would have... Here's the reason why. Because God's spirit resided in the tabernacle. It was the holy place. And once a year, only the priest can go inside there. Nobody else can go. This is how severe God's presence was, that anybody who walked inside the tabernacle, guess what? They had to have a rope tied around them. And then they had some bells on them. You know why? Because the second they came in within proximity of the Holy Spirit, of God's spirit, boom, dead. Instantly. And so here's what they would have to do. The priest would have to grab that rope and then pull them back. And if they stopped hearing the bells, this is what that meant. They stopped walking. They dropped dead. And so they would have to pull them in. And some of you may be wondering, what does that have to do with anything right now? It has everything to do with everything right now. Because now you don't have to wait for a man to take you into the presence of God. Hallelujah. You can approach the throne of glory all by yourself. Because of Christ Jesus that resides inside of you. But hear me, we take this for granted. Like the breath in our lungs, we take it for granted. When's the last time you considered, man, when I'm going through a situation in life, it's not Christ and me, but it's Christ in me that allows me to endure. See, God desires to dwell in his people. This was the plan all along. This was the mystery revealed. Christ in you. Not temporary presence, permanent residence. Hallelujah. See, not God nearby, but God within. Christ in you. That is our hope of glory. That is what enables maturity. See, we do not mature by trying harder. Catch this. We mature because Christ is in us, working through us, transforming us, strengthening us, and leading us. Therefore, the Christian life is not Christ and me, it's Christ in me. And so here's the thought that I would like for us to carry this morning. Christ-empowered maturity is not Christ and you, but Christ in you. Come on, say it with me. Christ-empowered maturity is not Christ and you, but Christ in you. So Paul teaches us that maturity is not measured by how long you have been saved, but by what Christ is producing inside of you. Here's why this is important, because when Christ lives in you, your life begins to change. Your suffering changes. Your strength changes. Your relationships change. Your pursuit even changes. And so this morning, I just want to highlight the description of what it means to be a maturing Christian. Y'all ready? Yes. Y'all ready? Yes. Yes, there we go. Come on. So we're going to take some observations out of this passage in chapter 1. Here's point number 1 this morning. Christ in me gives me the ability to suffer with gladness. You can endure any trial life has to throw your way and do it with a posture, not of your head hung low, but with your head standing high. Why? Because of Christ within inside of you. Here's how I know, because Paul says something that sounds almost impossible. He says, I am glad when I suffer. When's the last time you were going through something? You said, let's go. Probably not, right? No. The first thing is, oh my Lord, what am I going to do? How am I going to take care of it? You start freaking out and going panic mode and everything. But Paul says, no. I'm glad that I'm suffering, because his suffering was linked to something greater than himself. See, he was not saying, I'm tolerant when I'm suffering, I'm surviving when I'm suffering. He says, no, I'm glad when I'm suffering, because Paul understood that suffering for Christ is never wasted. When you suffer for the Lord, God does not just let that fall to the wayside. No, he sees that and he uses it to transform you. When I was going through the seasons of my life, I've explained my testimony before, a portion of it, but when my wife and I just hit a pocket in our marriage where we were just like, man, there's a disconnection here. And a lot of it was God was just working in me. In that moment, I did not know that God was prepping me for a season in which I would need that moment, that forging in my life. Because it was in those seasons of my life where I knew God's goodness is true and is for me. I hope y'all are catching. What is it that you have gone through? What lesson did God teach you out of that? How was your character being formed in that? See, when your suffering is linked to kingdom agenda, it's never wasted, friend. See, his pain had purpose. His suffering was connected to kingdom advancement. He was not suffering because God had abandoned him. He was suffering because God was actually using him. That's the key. Therefore, here's the difference between immature Christians and mature Christians. Excuse me. Immature Christians say, why me? Mature Christians say, what is God producing through me? That's the perspective shift. It takes you out of that mentality of saying, God, why? Y'all ever been there? Again? Right? And God is just saying, no, you didn't get it the first time. So we got to teach you around the second time, or the third time, or the fourth time. And yet, God's faithfulness is true through and through in all of it. So if you want to understand, man, am I immature in my faith, or am I mature in my faith? Consider what comes out of your mouth. Are you asking, why me? Or are you asking, what is God producing through me in this moment? See, Christ in you changes how you interpret hardship. Many believers think that suffering means something is wrong, but in God's economy, suffering actually means something is growing. Sometimes God develops us in places we would never voluntarily choose. Do you think a kernel of popcorn desires to be inside of a microwave? No. Because when the kernel is placed in an environment that is greater than itself, guess what? It begins to heat up. Pressure is on. And here's how a kernel pops, because it has moisture inside of it. And when that moisture is linked to external circumstances that are causing pressure and then putting on the heat, guess what? Whatever is inside gets exposed. It pops. Consider this. The circumstance you're in, what did it reveal? Christ in you or Christ and you? Is this making sense? Okay. I'm getting some looks like, what you talking about? Sometimes God develops us in place we would never voluntarily choose. Pain becomes the classroom. Pressure becomes the training ground. See, maturity does not mean the absence of suffering. It means learning how to trust God inside of it. I think James says it best. He says, consider it nothing but joy. My brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials, be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. I think Tony Evans, he says it pretty well. He says, your greatest lessons in faith are often produced in the dark. When no one is seeing, when the lights are turned off, when you feel alone, when you're wondering why, those are usually the moments that God is forming inside of you. See, a trial, feel free to write this down if you're taking notes. A trial is a divinely ordained difficulty that God causes or permits so that he may grow us and conform us into the image of his Son. Your suffering has purpose to conform you and to mature you more into the image of Jesus. That is our goal, friend. Not your retirement plan. Not the hope of being an empty nester. None of that stuff. Our goal in this life is to mature more into the image of Christ. How are you growing? There's a story. I've shared this story before, and I'm going to share it again. But there was a lady by the name of Corrie ten Boom. Anybody ever hear that name before? She was a Christian missionary during the Nazi regime. And Corrie ten Boom, she was put in a circumstance that many people would quickly despise. I'll describe it to you. Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy were imprisoned in the Nazi concentration camp of Ravensbrück during World War II. See, the barracks they were assigned to were overcrowded, they were filthy, and catch this, they were infested with fleas. At first, Corrie, of course, she was horrified. She could handle hunger, she could handle fear, and she could handle hardship. But the fleas, unbearable. She complained to Betsy, her sister, asking, how could we possibly thank God for a place like this? Betsy reminded her of scripture, especially in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says like this, give thanks in all circumstances. And so reluctantly, Corrie began to pray. And she thanked God for being together with their sister, and she thanked God for the Bible study that they had managed to smuggle inside of the prison. And she thanked God for the woman in the barracks that they could minister to. And then Betsy said, thank God for the fleas. Corrie, what? Yeah, thank God for the fleas. Corey's like, all right. I don't want to, but okay, thank you, God, for the fleas. And she thanked God. And later, this is what's remarkable. Later, they discovered something that was beyond them. The guards rarely ever entered their barracks because of the flea infestation. And so if it wasn't for the fleas, they would shut down every Bible study that they had. But because of the fleas, they said, I ain't going in there. Wow. And guess what? All the women in the prison were having Bible study without a problem. Amen. Nobody was knocking on the door. See, because of that, Corrie and Betsy were able to hold open Bible studies, pray with women, read scripture out loud, and lead many prisoners to Christ without constant interruption from the guards. The very thing Corrie thought was useless suffering became the very tool God used for her ministry. This jacks me up. What is God using for you in your life that you are despising? What are the fleas in your life that you need to thank God for? See, what looked like a curse became part of God's providence in Corrie's life. And here's the point, is that sometimes God uses what we want removed to accomplish what he wants revealed. Period. See, Paul says, I rejoice in my suffering. Why? Because mature believers understand that God can even use the fleas. So Christ in you gives you the ability to suffer with gladness because pain in God's hands is never pointless. And so let me ask you the question, where are you resenting suffering? What if your current trial is God's tool for your maturity? Because Christ in me gives me the ability to suffer with gladness. Here's point number two this morning. Christ in me compels me to be responsible. Hello. You are called to be a responsible Christian, not a passive one. Not a lazy one. See, God gave me the responsibility. These are Paul's words. God gave me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. In essence, here's what he's saying. A maturing Christian realizes they are not owners of the gospel. They are stewards of it. Yes. You do not get to select and choose who gets to receive the gospel. Right. You are called to share it and to demonstrate it in your life. And in your words. See, Paul says he became a minister according to a stewardship from God. He understand who his source was and who was providing for him. See, that word responsibility, it can also be understood as stewardship. And Paul understood that this life is not mine. No. Jesus paid for this life. Therefore, I owe it to him. this calling is not mine. The gospel is not mine, is what Paul is saying. He had been entrusted with something sacred. So here's what maturity does. Maturity moves us from selfish Christianity to surrendered responsibility. This just does not take place in the church. This also takes place in your home. What has God called you to be responsible for? So you stop asking what God can do for me, and you start considering what has God entrusted to me? Your family, your calling, your giftings, your witness. Christ in you makes you responsible, not passive. Catch this. Immature Christians consume. Mature Christians give. I didn't get a lot of amens on that. Immature Christians consume. Mature Christians contribute. They serve. They give. And here's the source of why they give. Because they understand God has given me all I need already. We just sang it this morning. Everything I need, my Father has it. See, some people, they want the benefits of faith without the burden of responsibility. I'm going to run through a list of examples, and if the shoe fits, let the Holy Spirit do what he's got to do. See, people want peace, but they don't want prayer. People want breakthrough, but they don't want obedience. They want blessing, but they don't want stewardship. They want healing, but they don't want holiness. They want God to speak, but never open his word. They want strong marriages, but refuse sacrifice and forgiveness. They want godly children, but will not disciple them at home. They want financial provision, but ignore generosity and faithfulness. They want ministry influence, but avoid private consecration. They want resurrection power, but avoid carrying the cross. Some want the title of Christian without the training of discipleship. They want Sunday celebration without Monday surrender. I got a lot more. Should I keep going? I got a couple more. They want the promises of God without the process of God. They want the fruit of the Spirit without staying connected to the vine. See, the reason why I bring all of this up is because it's painting the picture of spiritual consumerism. And if we are not mindful and intentional and careful about our actions, our Western mentality is we are some bougie people. Media and everything has catered what? For you to consume, for you to purchase. Me, 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 me. And the Bible is completely opposite. The Bible is we. It's God in you. It's Christ in you. All throughout Scripture, it talks about one another, not just about you. It's about your neighbor. See, maturity understands that salvation is free, but discipleship is costly. The gift of salvation was a free gift. Don't worry about that. All you have to do is receive it. But now you have been in charge to walk out that gift that God has given you. How is salvation maturing you in the faith and conforming you and maturing you more into the image of God? 1 Corinthians 4:2. I've been liking the Amplified version lately, so I'm going to read out the Amplified version. It says this: so then, let us who minister, that this is not talking about a pastor, we're all have been entrusted to steward God's word. Let us who minister be regarded as servants of Christ and stewards, that is, trustees and administrators of the mysteries of God that he chooses to reveal. Verse 2, in this case, moreover, it is required as essential and demanded of stewards that one be found faithful and trustworthy. Catch this last line. Grace is not an excuse for passivity. Grace is not a license to keep sinning. It is a license to free you from the bondage of sin. So whether or not you serve in full-time ministry, if you have believed in Jesus as the atoning sacrifice for your sins, you are a manager over a sphere of influence. The second you said, okay, Christ in me, Christ, I receive you, those are some dangerous words. There's some underwriting in there. Meaning the life that you now live is no longer yours. It belongs to somebody. And God has just given you the responsibility to steward it. So how are you stewarding what God has given you? Let me bring some hope. The gospel makes us responsible because Jesus entrusted his mission to us. He saved us, and then he sent us. He did not rescue us to remain idle. He brought us in so we can bring others in. God has saved you so that you may invite others to come in. Notice I didn't say so that you can save others, because we're not in charge of the saving. We're in charge of the sharing. So how are you sharing Christ? Imagine somebody handing you the keys to their house while they're away. Hey, can you house sit for me this weekend? You wouldn't treat it carelessly, I hope. No, you were steward it responsibly, right? Make sure the doors are locked. Make sure that the temperature is set. Make sure that the dog is taken out on time so they're not leaving garbage in the house. Come on, somebody, right? See, we do not, if we don't even do that with earthly things, why are we doing this in spiritual things? You protect what has been entrusted to you. God has entrusted us with far more than house. He has entrusted us with the gospel. Let me keep flying through this. Point number three this morning. Christ in me assures my fate. This is good news. Because if you question and doubt, man, am I really saved? Jesus reminds you that he has sealed you. He says, and this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. A maturing Christian is not spiritually unstable because their future is secured in Christ. A mature Christian doesn't say, am I saved today or am I not saved today? No, no, no. They know without a shadow of a doubt, no, I am saved by the blood of Christ. See, Paul says Christ in you is the hope of glory. Hope here is not wishful thinking. It's confident expectation. This is the hope that we have as Christians. This is not, I hope I make it. This is, I know where I'm going because of who lives inside of me. It's confidence. It's a boldness. See, Christ in me removes spiritual uncertainty. If you are struggling with assurance and uncertainty in your faith, I pray that this passage encourages you this morning. Is that God has sealed you, and that what God has started, he is faithful to complete. But here's what this means for you, is that you got to do your part too. You need to be in your word. You need to be obedient. You need to be seeking. If you're just sitting passively talking about, God, give me a job, and you never apply for a job, you ain't getting a job. You got to go out there. The Lord meets you. But not only does he meet you, he's actually the one empowering you through the whole process. See, not many believers live with unnecessary, or many believers live with unnecessary spiritual anxiety. Always afraid, always doubting, always wondering if God still loves me. But that instability, friend, it steals the joy that God desires for you. See, maturity stands on assurance. Not confidence in self, hallelujah. Confidence in Christ. I got a baby even saying hallelujah in here. Come on now. See, Philippians 1:6 says like this, I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, the time of his return. If that's not enough for you, James 1:6-8 says, he warns us against double-mindedness. He says, but when you ask him, this is about wisdom, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Nothing else. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. Here's the good news. Christ brings stability. Christ brings stability. So what in your life that is not Christ have you been leaning on to bring you stability? May I say that it is a hollow wall that you're leaning your ladder against. If it's not Christ, that wall's going to come crashing down at some point. See, if Jesus is in you, glory is ahead of you. This is good news. But Christ, here's the ultimate truth. Christ in you keeps you, keeps your soul from floating away. It keeps you from drifting, which is the essence of Paul's letter to us, right? He's writing to the church of Colossae, and he's saying, hey, no, you need to know who Jesus is, because there's going to be times where people are going to come in with some funky teaching that sounds kind of nice, it's tickling your ears, but it's not the gospel truth. Be aware of these things that will cause you to drift from the faith that God has initially called you to. So consider this, am I living with confidence in Christ or fear in myself? Do I know I belong to him? Christ gives you the assurance that your fate is sealed. Here's point number four this morning. Christ in me prepares me for eternity. Colossians 1:28 says that we may present everyone mature in Christ. A maturing Christian lives with eternity in mind, because one day we will stand before God, friend. See, Paul says his goal was to present believers mature in Christ. That means there is coming a presentation day. Y'all remember in elementary school when you had a project or you had to do something that you had to present in front of the class? What were you doing? Working all week, right? Getting that thing together so that you would be ready for your presentation moment. Guess what? That still hasn't changed. You and I are called to live a life worthy of the gospel, because one day is coming a presentation day. The great white throne of judgment, where you will stand before your maker and he will take account every action, every thought, every deed that you have ever said, thought, or committed. And here's the question that I ask. Is it going to be you, or is it going to be Christ in you that God sees? Because if it is Christ in you, guess what? You're covered by the blood. But if it's Christ and you, you're covered by your own works. And it's not good enough. No. It is Christ's blood that saves you. See, Christ in me prepares me for eternity. I'm a girl dad. I'm proud of it. I got two baby girls. They're with their uncle this weekend, and we miss our babies. But I know that I have, man, I'm going to start crying. I know that I have to live, don't laugh at me, Lola. I know that I have to live with presentation in mind. That one day I'm going to have to walk my baby girls down the aisle and present them before their future husband. And so, I know. My responsibility as a dad is to raise girls that are God-fearing. It's to raise girls that know the Lord and are stable in their identity. They are stable in their confidence. They are stable in where their fate lies. But here's what I'm hoping too. I'm not just praying for my daughters, but this is weird to say. I'm praying for my future son-in-law, right? That God is doing a work and he's preparing them. And so I bring up my daughter, but nothing is different between you and the Lord. Because in the Bible, Jesus describes you as the bride, the church as his bride. And guess who's the bridegroom? Jesus. And while you and I are still breathing, while you and I are still living, here's what needs to happen, is that we need to be maturing and being prepped for the day that we are handed over to God. This is beautiful, but it's also scary. Bless you. But in Christ, you have nothing to fear. Christ is with you. Christ is preparing you. But we can hinder that preparation by our passivity, by our stubbornness, by our pride. Allow God to do and work in you, because a presentation day is coming. Point number five this morning. Christ in me allows me to accomplish more than I can in my own strength. Colossians 1:29-23, he says, I toil, struggling with all this energy. A maturing Christian stops relying on personal strength and starts living with divine power. See, Paul says, I work. That means he's putting in some effort. Christian maturity is not passive. It means dependence. See, Paul worked hard, but he didn't work alone. When you were serving God, when you were trying to live for God, guess what? You are not on your own. Jesus says, I am with you always. See, his strength came from Christ within him. So maturity understands this balance. Please catch this. I labor, but Christ empowers. I move, but Christ supplies. See, many believers are tired because they are trying to do spiritual work within natural strength. You're trying to clean up your act on your own wisdom. And God is saying, no. Start looking to me. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to be the one that's doing the cleaning in your life. There's going to be things. I think often at times when we come to Christ, we got so much stuff that we know, man, I need to fix this area, this area, this area, this area, this area. And God is just like, I know. I made you. But here's the beauty about Jesus is he's not talking about, let's just clear the whole house. No, he starts identifying room by room by room by room. And he says, let's clean this one out. Let's let go of this thing. Would you trust me with this thing? God is a God of order, not a God of chaos. Would you trust him with your life to begin to identify those things that need removal, that need maturing in Christ? John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, God supplies what he requires. As I come to a close this morning, here's what I would like for us to consider. Paul brings us face to face with one unshakable truth. He says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the heartbeat of maturity, friend. Not church attendance, not religious routine, not spiritual performance, but Christ in you. Because one day, everyone will stand before God. Colossians 1:28 says that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That means there is coming, again, a presentation day. A day when titles will not matter. A day where platforms are null and void. A day where your reputation will not matter. But what will matter is this. Did you know Jesus? Not did you go to church. Not did you know religion. Not did you know, did you pray enough? It's no. Do you know Jesus? See, he is looking for a real relationship with you this very morning. He has called you for such a time as this. Your pain and your suffering in the hands of God does not go void. Rather, he uses it to redeem you, to mature you, to grow you in all that God has called you to be. With every head bowed and every eyes closed this morning. Again, some people have religion but no relationship. You know church language. You know worship songs. You know how spirituality looks. But if we're honest, Christ is not ruling your heart. You may have attended services but never actually surrendered your life to Jesus. But the word says today is the day of salvation. Today, repentance is the call. It's not just a feeling of feeling bad. It is an actual turning point in your life, turning from sin, turning from self-rule, turning from dead religion, and turning to Jesus. It is saying, Lord, I am done trying to save myself. I surrender. I love you. I need you. Many need salvation in Christ. Not another sermon, not another emotional moment. Salvation. That's for the unbeliever. For the believer in the room this morning. Some of you are saved, but you're stagnant. You have been in church for years, but still spiritually immature, still easily offended, still prayerless, still inconsistent, still living like God is optional and not necessity. You are born again, but you're not growing. See, God did not save you to stay a spiritual infant. He has called you to spiritual maturity. In Hebrews 5 says, there are people who should be teachers by now and are still sipping the milk. Still needing someone else to feed them. Still unstable. Still wavering. But maturity says it's time to grow up. It's time to pray without being pushed. Come on. It's time to forgive without being forced. It's time to serve without being noticed. It's time to obey without needing the applause of man. Because one day you will stand before God and the question will not be, how gifted were you? The question is, what did you do with Christ in you? Did you grow? Did you obey? Did you mature? And so today, here are the two invitations. For the unbelieving person, here's the call. Repent and come to Jesus today. Don't delay. For the believer, grow up and start walking with Jesus. I promise I'm not angry this morning. I'm just very passionate. Because I truly believe that God wants to do so much in so many lives this morning. But it's time to grow up. It's time to stop clinging to old habits and old routines and start trusting God with the new. Here's, please, every head bowed, every eyes closed. I want to keep this moment sacred. There is a passage of scripture in John chapter 5, and there is a story of a man who has been paralytic. It says specifically for 38 years. In 38 years, he would stand beside this pool in Bethsaida, and he would see all of these people going into this miraculous water and being healed. And Jesus walks up to the scene one day, and he sees this man, and he asks him one profound, powerful question. He says, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? And rather than the man saying yes, the first thing that comes out of his mouth is an excuse, pointing the fingers why he can't be healed. And Jesus is like, bump all that. I didn't ask that. I said, do you want to be healed? And the man finally, yes, I want to be healed. Here's why this is important. Because the moment God heals you, he changes you. You have no more excuse to point back to people, to experiences, to situations. No, God has given you new life and he has called you into abundant life. Amen. And so the question is, do you want to be healed? And before you say yes, I would ask that you strongly consider it. Because if God heals you, that means you are forsaking what once was and stepping into what is now. There's a call to believe. There's a call to grow up. And this morning, we have our prayer team that's available to you, that wants to pray with you. I want to be able to pray with you if you would allow that. And the altars are open this morning. And so if you're somebody who needs to receive Jesus for the very first time, I just want to make sure that we're identifying this because we want to know who we're praying for. And there is nothing to be ashamed of in this room because all of us have prayed this prayer at one point and we continue to pray this prayer every day, I hope. But if there is anybody in this room who says, I have zero relationship with God, that today I sense that he is calling me to mature, but the first step to maturity is receiving him and trusting him. If there is anybody in this room, you know without a shadow of a doubt, I don't have a relationship with God. I don't know if I'm saved for eternity. I don't know about this salvation. Right now, at this very moment, we can solidify that. And so if there's anybody with zero relationship with Jesus Christ, if that's you in this room, I'm going to ask that you would stand to your feet so we can pray with you. Might be none, might be one. Come on now. Can I get a sister to pray with her? Anybody else? Amen. Hallelujah. Can you look at me for a second? And Jesus sees you. And he loves you. Right? And so whatever has happened before this moment, does it negate that? It just solidifies, man, God, you're not done with my story. Amen? And so can we just stretch our hands to her as we pray with her? And I'm going to ask that you would repeat after me, okay? Say, Jesus, today is the day that I forsake my old life and I entrust my new life to you. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean. Make me new. I believe, Jesus, you came. You lived a sinless life. And you willingly died on the cross for me. And in 3 days, you rose again. Holy Spirit, fill me, clean me, and lead me into all truth, so I may know God and make him known. In Jesus' name, amen. And all of heaven celebrates. And then the second invitation. If this message has been speaking to you and there's some areas you need to grow up in, again, this place up here is not a place to cast judgment. It's so that you can have that moment with the Lord. And don't just stop here. Allow it to mark you. Allow it to go with you moving forward. And so the altars are open this morning. If you need prayer, we want to pray with you. Amen? Amen. Amen.